Good morning again. Today's the Advent, like I said earlier. In Webster's Dictionary, I looked up the meaning and definition. There are three definitions for the Advent. Any important arrival. The period including 4 weeks or four Sundays before Christ's birth, and to expect the second coming of Christ. Those are the three definitions that the Advent is posted in Webster's. The question is how have you or me, how have we been preparing for the Advent? I'm going to tell a story. Nate, the PowerPoint's there. Did you see it? All right. I'm going to tell a story about my father-in-law, Angel Martinez. You can put the picture up now. Martha's dad was a good man. He had immigrated from Mexico in his 20s, mid to late 20s. He had no education, worked hard to help support his family at the age of 8. From the age of 8 till the age of 28, that's all he did was work to help support his family because his father died when he was 8. When he came to the United States, had the opportunity to come here, he had no education, he had no schooling up. His schooling was up to sixth grade. That was it. And at the age of 28, he got his GED, and he graduated from Case Western Reserve by the age of 33. He wanted to become a doctor. But because of family and life and children and other responsibilities, that dream fell short. His daughter, Martha, of course, I met her when I was 18 years old. We had been dating for 5 years, and we had gotten married. We had gone on our honeymoon to Cancun. It was a nice honeymoon. It wasn't the best because I got sick, but it's something I would never change. We came home, and her father had invited us over for dinner the following Saturday. He wanted us to share our honeymoon experience with him. And guess what the first question that came out of his mouth? When are you having kids? Anybody relate to that? When are you expecting? Are you expecting children yet? No, not yet. We just got back from our honeymoon. But the reason why he loved kids so much is because he worked at Rainbows and Babies Children's Hospital. He didn't become a doctor. He became a respiratory therapist. He worked with children that had cystic fibrosis. So from a very young age when the child was born, he had patients until the child died. That was his life. That's what he lived life for. He treated children. He loved children. And there's many pictures that I could find, but I don't have a scanner to scan them. But there's one picture that I saw of him at the hospital. It's a Care Bear and him. And he used to bring in these people dressed up as Care Bears or certain people throughout the year to make the cheer up the kids and make them happy. But he loved children. But we weren't able to give him any children. For the first 2.5, 3 years of our marriage, we had a hard time having children. I thought that there's something might be wrong. Martha thought that something might be wrong, so we had gone to the went to the doctors, went through a bunch of tests. The doctor said, "Be patient. Be patient." We were. It took about 6 months later, and we were expecting our first child. But this reminds me of a story in the Bible, Abraham and Sarah, and how God had promised them, God promised Abraham the promised land of that he left his homeland to go to this promised land, but he also promised him that he was going to have numerous offspring, as much as the stars in the sky or the sand on the seashore, on the beach, the seashore, or the dirt of the ground. It says in Genesis 13:16, the Lord said to Abraham, after Lot had departed from him, "Look around from where you are, to the north, to the south, to the east, and to the west. All the land you see I will give to you and your offspring forever. I will make your offspring like the dust of the earth, so that if anyone could count the dust, then your offspring could be counted." And in Genesis 15, he said, God took him outside and said, "Look up at the sky and count the stars. If indeed you can count them," then he said to him, "so shall your offspring be." Wow. God's promising Abraham multiple offspring. Even though God promised Abraham this, he was 75 years old when he left his country. And at this time, it's been about 6-7 years later, he's been traveling. He's probably in his 80s. And God promised him all this offspring. Abraham had a hard time being patient. And Sarah, well, his wife, she was thought she was just too old to have kids. So Sarah decided to take things into her own hands. She decided to take her servant, Hagar, and make her the surrogate mother for Abraham. And she did this because she wanted to preserve the bloodline of Abraham so he had offspring. She didn't have any offspring up until that point. Well, Hagar conceived. You know the story. Ishmael was born. There was problems between Sarah and Hagar. And about 10 years later, 11 years later, God had made a promise and told Abraham, "Well, Ishmael's not the chosen one. You're going to have your own child." At this time, Abraham's 99 years old. Sarah's in her 80s. And they had a child, Isaac. And that, from Isaac, that's how we have the promise that we have today with Christ. Isaac was a chosen bloodline of Christ through Jacob, through David. So promise gave, God gave Abraham and 2,000 some odd years ago is a promise and the reason why we celebrate the Advent season. That was the start of God's plan for Christ. The Messiah would come saving the world. That is the start of the Advent season. That is what we're supposed to be celebrating. As it says in Isaiah 9:6, "For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given. The government shall be upon his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Prince of Peace." That is the reason for the Advent. I love the Christmas season. And the more I mature with Christ, the more I love that comes into my heart is because of God's promises. That's what gives me the joy and the love, is because of God's promises. But there's questions that always come and arise in my own life. And I'm going to share them with you. When we celebrate Christmas, do we celebrate with expectant joy? Expectant joy. Martha and I finally became pregnant. We're expecting our first child. We could hardly stand and wait. It was actually a painful at times because you're expecting and waiting for that child to come, and it's not easy waiting. Waiting for Brittany was an Advent time in our life. We all have them, life events that we celebrate, that we make our Advents in our lives. The moment of Brittany's arrival was I'll never forget it. In the operating room, the delivery room, Martha's having a C-section because she couldn't give birth naturally. Brittany's born. The doctor holds the baby upside down and just gives a swat on the bottom. Starts to scream and holler. She's screaming bloody murder. I hold my hand out. She grabbed my finger. I said, "It's okay." Instantly, she stopped crying. Because she knew my voice. and she felt the security of her father. Those are things I'll never forget. They had been things in our life are very important, things that we share and we hold high in regard. Birthdays, anniversaries. Anniversaries of birthdays over and over again. Whether it's the sweet 16 birthday, the 21st birthday, milestones, the 20s, the 30s, the 40s, the 50s, the 60s, we hold these birthdays in high regard. We look forward to them every year. We celebrate them. But as for Christmas, we ought to have the joy that fulfills our soul like no other birthday can. For bringing in the season, we remember the angels were heard on high saying, good tidings and great joy, the announcement of a Savior. We have to remember that, the birth of Christ. Do we? Do we truly focus on what God's done for us in our lives? Sometimes the world can overcome all that joy. The second question I have to ask is this. When we celebrate Christmas, do we celebrate the promise or the gifts? Black Friday, Small Business Saturday, Cyber Monday, Thursday evening is when Black Friday starts. It's amazing how the reason for the season that has been replaced by the retail messaging moving convinced us that we're supposed to go out. And that's what it's about. It's about the gifts. We have, over and over again, we go out and we buy into the process of the commercials. We get bombarded by this. We buy these gifts, and no matter if it's the computer, new computer, the new laptop, phone, those things are good to have. We need them. We need them to live. New shoes, new purse, clothes. Those things are all wonderful, and they're great. We need them. But I think if we slow down a little bit and if we focus on the season, I think it's better, because what happens is we are the type of society now that we want to know that moment what's going on in life. And Facebook, you look at Facebook. Facebook, a lot of times, we know what our friend's having for breakfast the moment that they're making it. Or what they did throughout the whole day, moment by moment. Their every moment, every movement, we know that. The world tries to tell us that the latest and greatest version of all these things, computers, clothes, purses, the world tries to tell us those are the event things that you have been waiting for. But let me tell you, they're lying. That's not what we're waiting for. Those are things that we might need. Those are things that we might desire. You know, but that's a big lie. These things are just a fad. And my definition of fad is for a duration. They're temporary. They don't last forever. They're things that we might need to use, but they don't last forever. This is not the Advent season that we're supposed to celebrate. Let's open the text to Luke 1. My Bible's going to be a little different than yours because I have an ASB. So, Luke 1, verses 26 to 29 is where I'm going to start off. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to the city of Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, of the descendants of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the coming in said to her, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." I cannot imagine the thoughts that Mary had on her mind at the time when the angel of the Lord approached her. "Greetings, you who are highly favored." I get to see her face, the angel of the Lord looking at her and say, "Who, me? I'm just a young girl from a poor family." What the angel of the Lord said next made Mary even more uncomfortable and more troubled. "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have been found in favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. He will be great, and his name will be called Son of God, Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end." The angel of the Lord said, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And for this reason, the Holy Child shall be called Son of God. And behold, even your relative Elizabeth has also conceived a son in her old age, and she who is called barren is now in her sixth month." Just put your mind around that. An angel of the Lord coming to you, or coming to Mary, saying you're going to be having a son conceived by the Holy Spirit. He's going to be the Son of God. Just put your mind around that. If the angel ever came to me and said that, I would think I'd be a little crazy. I might have some type of condition. I might tell a close friend, but I don't know. I might try keeping that to myself. I wouldn't want anybody to know about that. The thing is that what the angel says next is very encouraging. In verse 37, he says this, "For no word of God will ever fail." That's his whole book. It will never fail. What would your response be if you were a female and the Lord God came to you and told you this? It's truly amazing. Mary's response, "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word be to me fulfilled." Then the angel left her. Mary had just conversed with an angel of the Lord and basically told her, "God has a plan for you. You are going to have a baby out of wedlock, born of the Holy Spirit. There will be a Son of God. He will be given the throne of David. Her son would reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom would never end." During that era, and still today in some areas of the Middle East, if a child is born out of wedlock, you're considered an adulterer. Most likely you'd be stoned. But her answer is, "I am the Lord's servant. May your word to me be fulfilled. If we could put one word to her answer, what would it be? Obedient. Obedient. But in that text, if you look at that text, what didn't the angel of the Lord tell her? What didn't he tell her? If you look at that text, it's all about the birth. It's all about the throne of David. It's all about the Son of God. What didn't the Lord, angel of the Lord, tell her? Well, the angel of the Lord didn't tell Mary that her son's life would end. She didn't say her son's life would be crucified on, her son would be crucified on a piece of wood. The angel of the Lord did not tell her that your son would be beaten and whipped, spat on and brutally sacrificed, not only for Jacob's household and descendants, but for the sins of the world. That's the advent of the season that we're supposed to celebrate. Our advents in life are important advents. The things that we so badly look forward to. The third point I'd like to make is sometimes the arrival of an advent doesn't occur. Think about that. Remember the story of Martha and I, Martha's father, that I shared with you earlier? He was so looking forward to grandchildren. He never got to see them. 18 months after we were married, he died. The Lord took him, cancer. He never got to see one of his events, important arrival of grandchildren in his life. See, the events of this life, our advents that we feel are advents in this life, aren't that important. They're not important advents. Our birthdays cannot save us. All they do is count down to the day that our life ends. Our anniversaries every day, every year, our anniversaries, they're things worth celebrating. But in life, we only have an opportunity to celebrate certain events while we are still here. We cannot foresee the future, and we do not know what tomorrow will bring. Because of the promise God made Abraham thousands of years ago, because of the virgin birth of Christ, God's sacrificial gift, we have the ability to celebrate with Christ forever in eternity. But the only problem is that we have to accept him while we are still here. Don't miss the advent of Christ, child, in your life. This is the Advent season for me that I so look forward to see the Lord's face in eternity forever. That's what my Advent in life is. And I celebrate that every day. I think about it all the time. Life's hard. Life's difficult. We make choices and we make advents in our lives that we might think are important, but they're truly not. Let's celebrate with expectant joy. Let's make the promise more important than the gifts. And let's make Christ's advent in our life important. And let's make that decision while we're still here, if you haven't made it already. That's my message for today. November 30th, celebration of Christ starts today. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I just thank you so much for my brothers and sisters in Christ, and I thank you so much for the words that you've given me to speak to them, Lord. I just pray, Lord, that you would purify our hearts and make us conscious, Lord, that the things of this world will pass away. But Lord, you live on forever. The things of this world make us sad, sick. We go through turmoil and we go through trials and pain and suffering. But Lord, if we focus on you, Lord, and we just think about the promises that you've made us, no tears, no pain, no struggles. That's what I so look forward to. Spending time worshiping you with no pain, no struggles, no trials. All the sin had been washed away, and I just thank you so much for that gift that you've given me and everyone else here in this room if they accept it. I just pray, Lord, as we continue along worshiping you today, Lord, I just pray, Lord, we would focus on the Advent season, the promise, Lord, and not the gifts. I pray, Lord, that if anyone here does not know you, Lord, I just pray, Lord, you would just tug on their heartstrings, Lord, and draw them closer to you. I pray, Lord, they focus more on you every day of their lives, like I have in the past 19 years of my life. And I just thank you so much for it. There are many people that have gone on vacation this past week. I pray, Lord, that you would just bring them home safely. And Lord, I just pray, Lord, that they would have the same desires, that they would focus on the promise and not the gift. I pray for Randy and the worship that we are going to have the remainder of this day, and I just pray, Lord, that you would just let us worship with our hearts, a meaningful worship. We raise our voices to the Lord in a meaningful way. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.